It's a great honor that we welcome everyone to the Beit Shemesh Community Beit Midrash Initiative. This is a joint program of six shuls here in Beit Shemesh, and we've sort of expanded our team of people that are supporting this organization, this program here. I want to thank them all. In particular, I want to thank Yeshiva University of Israel, REITS. I want to thank, please forgive me if I forget anybody, but I hope I won't forget anyone this time. I came in running so fast, but I'm proud that I left my phone. I have the whole thing in there, but I thank you very much. Shkoyach. Or Torah Stone, Mizrahi, Olami, OU Israel, the Web Yeshiva with Rabbi Sachs, your Jeffrey Sachs, correct? And of course, I want to thank also Zev and Judy Berman in honor of Rabbi Brander, and of course, in memory of Zev's uncle Ted Berman, and of course Zev's father. Rabbi Julius Berman was with Rabbi Brand, I think, on the first Yort site, the first year after the Rav passed away. Rabbi Berman spoke lovingly about his Rebbe. And did I forget anyone else? The Rabbinical Council of America in Israel is also co-sponsoring. And I think I've gotten everybody. If I forgot to... I want to thank, of course... the shuls, Rav Meir, whose words were just awe-inspiring last week to start our program off with his brother, Rav Moshe, and Rabbi David. We're in the second week. God willing, we have a few more. I'll get into more details about that later because we have people here waiting to speak. And I just want to do a quick introduction. Rabbi Bravender is one of the trailblazers of education for the post high school students, having started Yeshivat HaMiftar and Michlelet Bruria, which was the original name, which then became Midreshet Lindenbaum, which one of the people here in the community, I'm not going to mention their name because I did not get permission to say their name, but they were the ones that actually were integral in getting the Lindenbaum family to support that program for the women. And again, trailblazing chinuch for women is another thing that the Rav was very much a part of. He was a trailblazer the first year at Stern College for Women in Gemara, was done by Harav Soloveitchik Zecher Tzadik Livracha, with Rabbi Lamb there and Rabbi Saul Berman and other people as well. I'm not going to get into more details or b'mishabeach Rabbi Bravender anymore. I'm just so excited. We've spoken. He told me to calm down. I was very excited about Rabbi Bravender joining us and sharing the Torah. So without further ado, Tanu Kava Torah, Rav Chaim Bravender.
Good evening. I actually feel fine. This doesn't all work. Okay. Since I agreed to come, I've been wondering what about me in particular led the organizers to invite me to speak. I was not the best student in the Rav Shir. And I don't think that I've written anything about what the Rav thought. You know, that's a very popular thing to do today. But in an interesting manner, the Tradition magazine is putting out an issue in honor of the, I don't know, in memorial 30th year of the Rav's passing. And in the introduction, the editor, Rabbi Jeffrey Sachs, tried to explain a particular connection that exists between Tradition magazine and Rabbi Soloveitchik. Of course, but in that introduction, he said something that I forgot about, which I'd like to kind of share with you. He said this, he wrote as follows, just a second. He said that before the Rav published The Lonely Man of Faith, he says there was an announcement, you know, hoping that the announcement would bring around a truth. And the announcement said, the editors of Tradition are pleased to announce that the next issue of Tradition will feature an important article, Man and His Faith, Vis-a-Vis the Modern Society, by Dr. Joseph B. Soloveitchik. That was the announcement that Tradition magazine made about the fact that they were going to publish a very important article by Rabbi Soloveitchik. And of course, they hoped that by making this announcement, it would actually happen. Now, the next sentence says this. Chaim Bravender, that's me. That was not so funny. See, the expectation is high. Listen to this. It says here, Chaim Bravender, comma, then a rabbinical student at Yeshiva University, comma, the second comma is missing. True. Who would go on to a storied career in Torah education. So I don't know exactly what storied means. So maybe I did. I don't know exactly what that means. But I went on to a storied career in Torah education in Israel, served as associate managing editor of the journal. Journal meaning Tradition of the journal. During that preceding academic year, he reports that Rabbi Wurzburger, who had inherited the editorship from Rabbi Lam in 1962, assigned him with the task of continuing the journal nudging. It was my editorial skills were defined as nudge. I was a nudger. How did I nudge? If you remember, those of you who have ever been in Yeshiva University, I suppose there's some people like that. There's an elevator. The elevator went to the third floor. The third floor was the floor that Rabbi Soloveitchik gave shiur in, down the end of the hall. You had to go all the way to the end of the hall. Fourth floor? Oh. I mean, I'm really out of date. Like, I'm not even there. So anyway, the way I did it, I'm very proud of the fact. The way I did it was I would, before shiur, shiur was supposed to start at 10 o'clock, but you never knew when it would exactly start because the Rav had people who annoyed him all the time. They were like, this special brand of people who they had to get the Rav's approval on things. So the Rav was not always there on time. So I would stand in front of the elevator and the Rav would come out and I would say, Rebbe, do you have the article? I would do this every day. Every day. I got to the point where the Rav saw me, he would suddenly start sprinting. It was hard for me to keep up. You know, it was like a like an automatic reaction. Oh, you? He's gone. And then he had these methods of confusing me. Once there was a crowd, he couldn't sprint by me, so I said, "We need the article, Rebbe." So he said, I gave it to Aaron. That meant he gave the article to Rav Aaron for editing, I guess. So I would go to Rav Aaron, you know, like it was a... And then I'd say, "You have the article?" So Rav Aaron said, "No, I have the article." So I have to say that my first and perhaps only great literary achievement was that finally I did get it. I got the article. He gave it to me in a manila envelope, what people did in those days before computers. And eventually The Lonely Fan of Faith was actually published in the Tradition magazine. So I tell you this story in order to emphasize the fact that my relationship to Rabbi Soloveitchik, to the Rav, was not so much a personal one. Even though I'll tell you another story, because stories are always good. And that is that I had a chavrusa. That's not the story yet. I had a chavrusa. And he was a great finagler. I don't know what that word means either, but you never knew what he was up to. There's a certain kind of people like that. He was very, very good chavrusa, he was there on time, but he was like always doing something. So he finagled himself into becoming the Rav's driver on the way back to LaGuardia Airport on Thursday. That's pretty good. You know, he did that every week. And he zealously guarded that job. Understandably, I mean, it's like, who wouldn't want a job like that? So there came this Thursday that he was unable to do it. He just couldn't take the Rav. And he knew that there were other people who were waiting in the wings for just such an accident to take place so that they could try to take over. So he figured, he thought that his chavrusa, I'm the least likely to do him in. So he said, "You'll take the Rav, but just one time. Remember, you can't do it again, ever." I said, "Look, you know, the car that I have is really what they used to call a heap. You know, it's like lo mechubad." He said, "Better." So I took the Rav to the airport. He took the Rav to the airport, and to make sure that I would not talk to the Rav talked to me, and I found it an exciting and exhilarating experience, but one that was not repeated. Okay. So what was my relationship? What was my relationship to the Rav? I mean, my relationship to the Rav is entirely of my own creation. It was in my head. I have a relationship with the Rav, but I can't back it up. I can't back it up with anything, but I'll tell you another story. No, I'll tell you another story because it'll explain things. The last year that I was in the Shir, the last year that I was in America, the last year that I was in the yeshiva, you may have heard that I came to Israel. And I was storied in Israel. So the last year, you know, when you walk into, when we went to Shir, there was a sheet on the desk. So the Rav came in. He had a list of the names of all the people who were in the shir. And the list was alphabetic. The list was alphabetic. And of course, if you were at the top of the list, it was a problem because the Rav might call on you to read. And reading was a big problem in the Rav Shir, because I would say that the Rav didn't expect the person to read to be able to really understand what he was reading, but he did not like it when you made a mistake in reading. When you read a pasuk wrong, when you read a famous line in the Gemara incorrectly, he didn't like that. So, as you may have guessed, my last name starts with B. Now, in the earlier years when I was in the shir, I was protected because there were B's that came before BR. There was Blitzstein, and there were like all kinds of people who were B's. And therefore, it never occurred to me that the Rav would get to me, because after the first day of Shir, the list seems to always disappear. I'm not sure how that happened at all. It just happens. But that year, that last year that I was in the Shir, and we were learning Yevamos, which itself is an interesting story. We were learning Yevamos. And the Rav called on me to read because I was at the top of the list. So, I have to admit that I must have read very poorly. But I read very slowly. And the Rav didn't like the speed. I read slowly because I was afraid. I was shaking in. Whatever could shake was shaking. So the Rav picked it up, like he took it away from me. He didn't say, stop reading. He just read over me. I mean, you have to understand that this is connected to something else that Rabbi Sacks said in this article that he wrote, because he quotes something from The Lonely Man of Faith with, I would like to mention. Here it is. He says, this I'm quoting Rabbi Soloveitchik. God wills man to be a creator. Creator, yotzer. Sometimes Hebrew does it better. His first job is to create himself as a complete being. Man is created in the image of God, but this image is a challenge to be met, not a gratuitous gift. It is up to man to objectify himself, to impress form upon a latent personality, and to move from the mythic, silent personality towards the center of objective reality. I admit that I don't know exactly how to explain that, but I want to tell you something that exists for every person who learns Torah. And these words of Rabbi Soloveitchik are critical in understanding. Learning Torah is truly about amassing information. And learning Torah is truly about the ability to make halachic determinations. And the Rav explained that many times. So you amass information. You paskin shilas, sometimes bigger ones, sometimes smaller ones. But that's what you do when you learn Torah. But the Rav pointed out that what you're actually doing is recreating the Torah all the time. And by recreating the Torah, even if you haven't learned Chassidus, you know that you're recreating yourself.
And that you might have thought, as I thought in the beginning when I came to the shiur, I said to myself, what's going on? I prepare for the shiur, and the Rav says something else. I prepare for shiur, and it comes out much better when I go to shiur. I said, well, there's something wrong here. Why do I prepare? I shouldn't prepare. I'll go to shiur. I'll hear the finished version, which will be better than whatever I would have prepared. And then I saved myself all that trouble. It took me a long time to overcome that nonsense and to understand that, and this is what Rabbi Soloveitchik meant to me, what Rabbi Soloveitchik meant to me, that you are involved in creating the Torah and you're involved in recreating yourself. And this is true for everybody. It has nothing to do with how smart you think you are. It has nothing to do with how noble your interpretations are. It has only to do with yourself and your ability to absorb an idea, to make it yours. You don't have to be the first one who said it. You don't have to be the only one who said it. But you know, everybody knows there's a difference between something they understand really well and something they don't understand so well. And what you understand really well is the creative force that was given to you to learn Torah. And that's why Torah is not something for professionals alone. True. We need Dayanim, and we need Rashi Yeshiva, and we need Poskim, and we need all of these people. And blessedly, the Hashgacha provides. We have those kinds of people, but we get up every day in the morning and we say Birkat HaTorah, because that's what we are charged to do. And the Rav said that creation, creating the Torah and creating yourself is something that exists for everybody. You have to just be confident. You have to be able to kind of savor it. Sometimes speed is what holds us back. Like we go too fast, we go too slow. We have to find ourselves in the text of the Torah. So, a semi-story. Somebody asked me, this is a true story, even though someone asked me, it doesn't have to be a true story. Somebody asked me, Rabbi Ravinder, do you think that Rabbi Soloveitchik was a great teacher? I never thought of that until they was asked. So I started thinking, do I think that Rabbi Soloveitchik was a great teacher? Well, we all know that Rabbi Soloveitchik was a great orator. He was a great speaker. There was no way you could listen to Rabbi Soloveitchik and like turn away. It was like compelling. It was really compelling what he said and what he did and how he did it. Hours of the Yahrzeit Shiurim. People came to hear Rabbi Soloveitchik, didn't know what he was talking about. Just to hear him, just to hear the voice modulated around the Torah, I mean, the drashot were in Yiddish. Were in Yiddish, I mean, the Rav stopped giving shiur in Yiddish because nobody in the shiur understood Yiddish. So I was thinking, was the Rav a great teacher or not? And I decided, no, the Rav was not a teacher at all. Teachers are people who come with a set pattern to teach. They come
with an outline, a lesson plan. They know the material. They have to figure out a way to get it to the students. That's what a teacher is. The Rav wasn't like that. For the Rav, the text of the Gemara was alive. It was a living organism. It was changing all the time. So I said the Rav was not a great teacher because he didn't act like a teacher. Well, what was he? The Rav was a great chavrusa. He was a great chavrusa. The people in the room were his chavrusa. Yes, you know, not every day was the same and not every shiur was the same, but there were many shiurim where I felt that. I felt this idea that the Rav was learning with me. Somehow I was into it, or I was affecting it. I was taking part in it. That was what was happening. And since then, I've kind of made it part of the attempts that I make. If I have the opportunity to tell somebody how to teach, I say, teach like the Rav. Be a chavrusa. Show the students that it's not perfectly clear until you clarify it. Don't come in necessarily with a lesson plan. 1, 2, 3, 4, that's good for mechanics, automobile mechanics, but it's not good for Torah. Torah, you want to be a chavrusa. You want to make a creation. You want it to become something that no one ever heard before. And even if they did hear it before, it's not the same. When you make a kinyan on it, you kind of adopt it. It becomes yours. So that's what I learned when I was in the Shir Rabbi Soloveitchik. I was not a groupie. Bichlal, I was. I was in Bnei Akiva. That's what I thought. I thought that Eretz Yisrael was the right thing to do. I can say that here because I guess everybody here also thought the same. So, that sort of prevented me. The Rav had a much wider scope. He's able to kind of deal with all these things at the same time. But again, I would like to make that point if I could. Try to be a chavrusa. Either one-on-one, one-on-two. You know, when you teach your children, I always say you teach your children on Shabbos, they all come with sheets, and the sheets say, this is what we learned, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And you make a deal with your son or your daughter that if they tell you the answers to the questions, you'll give them something. The children deserve a chavrusa with their parents. Chavrusa means you don't know all the answers right away. Because on whatever level you are on, and this you saw with Rabbi Soloveitchik and Shir, there's always a question. There's always something that can be clarified further. There's always something that can be learned again and again. Okay. It was nice being here.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Rother. It was a big honor and schus to hear from you.